The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
The sermon passage this morning is Hebrews 5:11 through 14. We have a great deal, although by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. This ends the reading of God's word.
Good morning. It's a joy to be with you. Again, my name's David, and it's a thrill just to spend these moments together. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we need to hear the word of God. We need to hear your spirit speak deeply to us, to who we are, our personalities, our life story, our stage of life. Oh God, would you speak in this room, because we're hungry to hear from you, and help those who are wrestling with belief today that they might come to believe that you are the Son of God who's come to mediate life between earth and heaven, between fallen man and perfect God. Speak to us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, so I'm going to try to stay focused because I can get gabby, and I realize I need to preach up the road a bit, but it is a pleasure to be here with you. I discovered last week while I was up in Hanover, they shut down Route 12A between Hanover and West Lebanon. So to get to the Five Guys, which I was interested in getting to, I had to take a necessary detour. And that's all fine and good. It was because it was dangerous to cross that bridge. And so there are necessary detours in life, and there are good detours in life. In 2003 or four, we had five children. We had a travel trailer, a big old one-ton van, and we hauled them all the way out to Mount Rushmore, and we took a good detour. We went to Desmet, South Dakota, the home of Little House on the Prairie. Now, some of you kids, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But some of you are going, oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was a fantastic detour. Well, today's text is a necessary detour. You're going to hear this word a lot, detour, to warn us about a dangerous detour, okay? So if you have at all been following along, we're in the book of Hebrews. We're looking at this morning, chapter 5, verses 11, and fall into verse 14. But what's happened is last week, I think Pastor Doug talked about, and Hebrews can be pretty complex, and he raised this idea that Jesus is the best high priest after the order of a guy by the name of Melchizedek. Not a name you'd typically give your child. And it's important. It's accessible. You can learn that. But the writer's going, but we've got to take a detour here. He's basically saying, these are complex thoughts, and I need to take a detour with you to warn you about something. And so that's where we find ourselves in today's text. It is a necessary detour by the author, warning the readers about a dangerous detour. A detour away from maturity. Okay, so if you're taking notes, you're trying to say, Pinckney, what are you trying to say here? This morning we're going to say that we're going to give warnings about a stuff that's accessible and attainable, but it's complex. And he says, okay, time out. We've got to take a detour here. I need to warn you about immaturity, about stopping your growth, or as I think we've titled this, a detour from maturing. And so I'm going to just keep asking the question, are you on a detour for maturity? Sort of like, and you'll know it by perhaps one of these things. Some of you are familiar with Jeff Foxworthy, the redneck comedian. And if you're redneck like me, I grew up like this. So like he says things like, if you look out your front yard and see more cars that don't run than do, you might be a redneck. If your brother buys a new house and you have to take its wheels off, you might be a redneck. I thought of that with my oldest sister. She's like 20 years old. She moved from Pennsylvania after a bad marriage. Actually, her ex-husband, who drove a tractor-trailer and hauled mobile homes, hauled her mobile home from Pennsylvania down to Warner, New Hampshire here. And we didn't take her tires off, but it just meant I thought about this. If the directions to your house include, then turn off the pavement, you might be a redneck. Well, this morning, we're going to look at this text and say, you might be detouring from maturity if you're uninterested in learning about God's word. Or you might be detouring from maturity if you have an unhealthy intake. Or you might be detouring from maturity if you're unreliable with the gospel. Or you might be detouring from maturity if you have undeveloped spiritual reflexes. Okay, let's look at verse 11. You might be on a detour from maturity or growing in your faith if you're uninterested in learning. It says there, we have a great deal to say to you about this. Okay, Melchizedek, Jesus being a greater high priest like Melchizedek, all that stuff. We're going to take a detour from that. He says, I have a great deal to say to you about this, and it is difficult to explain, easy to understand. Now, here we are sitting in a facility of higher education, higher learning. And I'll run up to Hanover and be in that town of Hanover, the home of Dartmouth College. We just launched a church last week, which has its first public service this morning in Henniker, New Hampshire, where there's another little college, New England College. Like, learning is great, and learning about Jesus is the best thing. And the author here says, we have a great deal we want you to learn about, and it's kind of difficult to explain, so you have to, like, be tasked in, zoomed in or zoned in. But he's saying here, you become lazy to understand. This is an issue of the will. You've chosen bad habits in learning. You are choosing not to learn more and more of Jesus. It shocks me, but I hear it too often, like, well, I've read the Bible. I kind of know it all. I mean, that sounds arrogant, and it is arrogant. And like the depths of Jesus are unsearchable. I mean, they're searchable, but you won't get to the bottom, put it that way. When I was in college, I got some really good advice. I'm a C student at best, and I did my last 2 years at Liberty University. I only went there because my dad was a pastor, and at that point, pastors' kids went tuition-free. Good choice. Met my wife there, so it was a real win. Had some really good professors. But before that, a business guy that I was working with, he gave some really good advice about learning. He said, always sit up front. You'll be less distracted. The teacher will pay more attention to you, and you'll take more in. Always sit up front. And he said, work your college career like a job. In other words, sign up for the earliest classes in the day that you can. Take copious notes. Go back to your dorm room or your apartment. Review your notes, go over all of them, work on your assignments, and be done by 5 and take the evening off. Those two pieces of advice were incredibly profitable in my life. My roommates hated me because by 5 o'clock, because I followed them, like I was done. I had the evening off. Assignments were done. It was amazing. And I graduated with a 3.98 and a C student. I mean, that's actually good if you don't know that. That's actually good. I learned to study well. Well, as Christians, it's an issue of the will. Are you going to be a lazy learner, or are you going to pay attention? Are you going to take the extra steps? Are you going to take a class? Are you going to take notes? I urge you to take notes, not because whoever says up here is like the most best speaker you've ever heard, but because there's something about when you write things down and you can doodle on the side, like you learn more. And there's a warning here. You may be on a detour from growing if you're uninterested in learning, or as it says here, since you become lazy to understand. Yeah, that's the first point. Here's the second. You may be on a detour from maturing if you have unhealthy intake. I'll probably spend a little more time on this verse 12. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. You need milk, not solid food. The word picture here is simple. A baby being nourished by the milk of her mother or from a warm bottle. Such a tender and treasured picture. Newborns, we need milk. We were at a St. Paddy's party last night. Crazy, it was a packed house. And there was a mother with 11-month-old twin girls. We have twin boys who are 34. And so my wife and I just gravitated to them. And of course, the congregation went into, oh, we're trying to wean them and, like, pumping and things like that I'm not, like, interested in. But it's important for these two little girls, my wife remembers their names, I can't, that they get their milk. But if they were 23 and still relying on mom's milk, that's unhealthy intake, and that's what's going on here. And unhealthy intake leads to unhealthy output. He actually says, you should be teachers by now. Now, that doesn't mean you as a Christian should actually stand up and lead a class. But people ought to be able to grow from you by what you say because you have grown. That's what this means. Are you helping others grow? And that just might mean participating in a home group, a community group. But it also means that you are learning things that you can talk about. Like, again, I don't want to name drop here, but, you know, could we have lunch and talk about Melchizedek? Have you thought enough about Melchizedek? We will be coming back to Melchizedek in chapter 7. Because even though he's kind of a mysterious character, he's actually used in the Bible, especially here in Hebrews, as a pointer to Jesus. What does that mean? And this isn't, I'm not trying to trick you. Like if you're going, oh, Lord, I'm not mature. I can't remember Melchizedek. Listen, could you read Hebrews and start and understand because of your maturity, oh, this is what it means. Do you understand that Christ is the best high priest, that he bridged the gap between fallen earth and perfect heaven, between man who is struggling to find their way and a God who is perfect who sends Christ to be the way? Do you understand that Christ is that perfect intermediary? What are your habits of learning? What are your habits of intake? I was just given a book, and it's been out for a while, but I was just given a book actually by Pastor Chris up at Christ Redeemer. It's called The Common Rule, written by Justin Early. He's an attorney who's a Christian attorney, but as a young man, his life was getting out of control. There was so much pressure, so much intake, so much, and he didn't have a common rule of life. A rule is a set habit you commit to in order to grow. That's and read a little bit about it. But he comes up with 4 daily rules and 4 weekly rules. The 4 daily rules are really, like, simple. Kneel in prayer at morning, noon, and night. And he has a whole reason why actually getting your body into that position of prayer is good. 1 meal with another person every day. Now you say, that sounds like a silly rule. Do you know how many people don't have a meal every day with another person? 1 hour with the phone off at the same time every day. These are his common rules. And then the fourth, which I wanted, this is why I went to this list, scripture before phone. Now, in our modern world, that would mean that you're giving a priority to healthy intake. And just because you're curious, the 4 weekly habits are 1 hour of conversation with a friend every week. Curate your media intake, in other words, the stories you listen to, the Netflix shows. He comes up with a random number, 4 hours a week. He said that is a random number, but come up with a set a limit on the stories you're listening to. Fast from something for 24 hours every week, and Sabbath. I'm just going to leave those there, but I want to circle back to this daily habit of scripture before phone. This verse, verse 12, gives us the diagnosis for maturity. It says, can you handle the solid food of Christianity? Now, if you're new to the faith, or you're being convicted, going like, man, I've been stagnant and, you know, relying on milk, you know, and I haven't really grown much. Either one, the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, that's great. You can assess that you're young in the faith or you stagnated. One is you're not going to stay young. You're going to grow, and so you're going to take steps. One, if you stagnated, you do what the Bible teaches you. Say, God, this is sin. I've stagnated. I need to take steps to grow. This is a basic diagnosis, a diagnostic tool. I suspect here you read from the Apostles' Creed and the Westminster Catechism from time to time. Those are good places to say, I need to go to those places and learn from them. Actually, I don't know if it's next week here because I think we're taking a week break, but the next part of Hebrews, in Hebrews 6, it says, let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and go on to maturity. And then he lists them. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. As I thought about that, I thought, well, what is this laying out of hands? We don't do that a lot. And then I studied a little bit going, okay, what is it? It calls down to, you know, that the repentance from dead works towards God means, okay, I'm not relying on dead works. I'm trusting in the work of God for salvation. I think the ritual of as it says here, teaching of the ritual washing, I think that's baptism. Laying out of hands is probably receiving the Holy Spirit. But those ideas that baptism is when I come out in the faith, I make my faith public. Laying on of hands, or as I did in the New Testament, the receiving the Holy Spirit realizes I am not relying on my power to follow Jesus. I have a down payment of God's grace in my life called the Holy Spirit, which empowers me to do things I could not do on my own, and nor should I try. And the resurrection and judgment, that this life is terminal. Death is still 100% successful. This is not our home. And that there's an eternal home and there's a judgment, and we get to claim Jesus as our Savior and the one who, I'm going to throw out some big words, but like propitiated for our sins. And I only use that word just to say, listen, if that word is foreign to you, grow into it. Know that word. It's in the Bible. It's a big word. It's an important word. It means Christ absorbs your judgment, the judgment you deserve and I deserve from the Father. This becomes then sort of a diagnostic of maturity. And I just want to read one other text, because in 3:1-3, if you're writing notes, you might want to jot that down. A good verse to meditate on your devotions this week. 3:1-3. Paul writing, for my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you are not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you are still worldly, for there is envy and strife among you. And he actually equates the behavior of these Christians with immaturity. Like, mature Christians realize envy is sin, and they seek to fight against it. And strife, quarrelsomeness, arguing is not a sign of maturity. In fact, to be an elder, it says one of the qualifications is you can't be a quarrelsome person. So it's not just maturity about belief, but it's a maturity about behavior. I told you I spent a lot of time on this one. You may be on a detour from maturing if you have unhealthy intake. If all you can take in is milk, you're not ready for the more beefy substance stuff. A third thing, you might be on a detour from maturity if you're unreliable with the gospel. Look at verse 13. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. Literally, it means he's unskilled or untested. I think the message of righteousness here is the message of the gospel. The good news that my right standing with the Father is because of Christ. The good news that the righteousness of Christ has been credited to my account and my guilt has been credited to his account, so I can enter heaven as one declared righteous. I came to Christ when I was just 4 years old. I can still remember it. And when I was younger and I told about this story, you know, it's not glamorous to come to Christ when you're 4 years old, or you don't think it is. You don't think it is. But as I've thought about how Jesus came to a four-year-old child. And I've tried to put together the events of that day. I mean, I remember the significant parts of it, climbing the stairs of the parsonage, the church-owned home in Epsom, New Hampshire, to find my dad sitting in the rocking chair, reading his Bible. And I went to see him because I was heavy and dark. Those were the words that I would have used as a young boy. There was heaviness and darkness. And all I knew is I need Jesus on the inside. That's all I knew. I sat on Dad's lap. I'm pretty sure it was his right knee. And I asked Jesus to come inside. I didn't understand the theology of it. I didn't understand that darkness was because I was unconnected with the God of light. I didn't understand that the weight that was burdening me down was sin. I mean, I hadn't sold drugs yet. I never sold drugs. But I'm just saying, like, was going over the gospel, and the little four-year-old, the Holy Spirit used whatever she or he said to be the seeds of the gospel that weighed my little soul down. But that little soul, because of a Christian community, because of a faithful dad, and because the weight of sin was real and the darkness of sin was real, this little four-year-old boy recognized that I didn't know I was disconnected with the eternal God. I just knew of this darkness and weight. And I didn't understand who Christ was. I didn't understand fully his divine nature or human nature, and that, you know, that he became. I didn't understand Hebrews. I was a child. But if I was telling you the same story of how I came to Christ when I was four, the same way, without sort of the maturing of the theology of what really happened, then I would be unreliable with the gospel. A woman in our group, our community group, she attends another church but comes. But I've known her since I was a teenager. I was her kid's youth group leader. And she shared that last Sunday her son had a cardiac scare and was being taken to the Concord Hospital. And she's on the phone with him. And he says, "Mom, did the prayer I prayed when I was a teenager, will that mean I go to heaven?" He hasn't been in church forever. He's not connected. And that's an infant question. I don't know if Bobby's a Christian or not. All I know is in youth group, he prayed a prayer. And when he's faced with death, he's counting on a prayer. I'm not sure he's counting on Christ or he's counting on a religious ritual. So I'm not judging that. All I'm saying is, like, there's an immature theology that's been undeveloped and that has not grown. And whether or not this dear friend is in the faith or not, he certainly couldn't tell someone how to know Jesus. I mean, there's not a secret prayer. This literally means baby gibberish. In other words, like, all you couldn't talk. How does it go again? "Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he's an infant." These two little twin girls last night I met. I mean, they were cute as a pin. Oh, they were cute. 11 months is fantastic. And the dad was sitting there trying to get them to say, "Dad, dad." Well, I mean, that's how we start out. We get to know God as dad, dad. But we also should grow to the point where we understand that Christ is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Have you grown for you? That is the starting point. Your story, if you've come to Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, if you don't have, like, what we would call a story of conversion, and you're wondering, like, this is a good opportunity to investigate that. And the story of a child who's come to faith, and I don't mean a child as in human age, I mean as in two examples in the Bible, my two favorite. The woman at the well, if you don't know the story, she's an immoral woman in the sense that she is married five times and now living with a sixth guy, and everybody in town knows it. So she's out at the well by herself, and Jesus meets her there, and Jesus starts a conversation actually by asking questions, which is really good. And she comes to believe in Jesus. She doesn't understand everything, but she runs back into town and says, "Come meet the man who's told me about everything in my life." And that's a colorful story. And they all came out. And it says they didn't just believe because of what she says, but because they met Jesus. You know, your story of your interactions with Jesus, I mean, that's the beginning point of the gospel. Same with the demoniac. The demon that Jesus cast out the man that Jesus had cast out a legion of demons from. That means a lot of demons. And he went from a crazy man living in a cemetery naked to being a man fully clothed and wanting to follow Jesus and begged Jesus, can I get in the boat and go with you? And Jesus says, no, go back into your towns and villages and tell them what God has done for you. We all have a story. But as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, we mature. We become more aware of all that God has done to rescue an immoral woman at the well, a demon-possessed man in the Decapolis, the 10 cities there, or a 4-year-old boy on his dad's lap in Epsom, New Hampshire. Are you reliable with the gospel? You might be on a detour from maturing if you're unreliable being able to talk about this message of righteousness. One last question, or one last sort of analysis, is you might be on a detour from maturing or growing if you have undeveloped spiritual reflexes. Undeveloped spiritual reflexes. Look at verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. Love this. This is, okay, mature. Maturity means I have ninja reflexes when it comes to determining, is this a good decision or a bad decision? Listen, the Bible is a broad map in the sense that it paints the picture of following Jesus, where we came from, why we're messed up, who God is, how Christ has come to rescue us, and where we're headed. That's the broad map, and there's a lot in there. But like when you go to work on Tuesday, or you go to school, or you get in a conflict with your spouse, the solid meat of the word helps you grow to the point where you have ninja instincts about, okay, I'm not going to lose my temper here. I know that's not the way of God. I've grown. This is like going to the dojo or going to the gym. It's actually the word gymnasium is in here. The word trained, we get the word gymnasium from. And as we think about what does it mean to mature in the faith, which is what we want, we might be on a detour from it if we have not grown in our instincts and how to discern in circumstances what is good and evil, whether that's how you pay your taxes, whether that's how you look at people who are driving slow on the interstate or holding up the line at the cashier or a business person who treats you rudely, or just the list goes on. Have you grown in your instincts to discern what's good and evil in responses, in our decisions, in our plans? Jesus said one of the marks of those who follow him is we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We have a craving to go the right way, to say the right things, to have the right thoughts, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. And how do we train? Well, it says here, it takes the substantive word of God. It takes, as it says here, the solid food is for the mature. You know, my last quarter of life, I'm just 61, so I'm looking at, you know, 4 quarters of life. Actually, some of you guys are at the men's retreat. I talked about the stages of masculinity, or you just talk about the stages of maturing generically. But one of the dangers I'm looking at in this last, is coasting, becoming apathetic, stop maturing, basically saying, I've already fought the fight. And one of my prayers is, I do not want to die dead. By that I mean, I want to die the most alive I've ever been. I want to lean into that. I want to keep this up. I want to be someone whose spiritual reflexes continue to grow, even as my physical reflexes get slower. So, sisters and brothers, I want to leave you with this. the next very next verse will say, let us make progress toward maturity, chapter 6, verse 1. Let me urge you to lean into that and use today's text as sort of a analysis or a diagnostic of where you are. Are you detouring? Are you taking a detour from maturing or from growing? Or as Jeff Foxworthy may say, you may be not a redneck, but you may be immature if you're uninterested in learning, or you have unhealthy intake, or you're unreliable with the gospel, or you have undeveloped spiritual reflexes. Maybe you just need to take notes on Sunday. Maybe you need to make a commitment to show up to community group. Maybe you need to ask the pastor about a class. I'll just recommend a book. Here's a great book, a book called Enjoying Jesus by Tim Chester. You haven't read a book in a while? It's an accessible book, but it's deep, and yet Enjoying Jesus by Tim Chester. Quality book. If you're not sure, ask Doug. See if he thinks it's okay. But unhealthy intake. Let me just challenge you. Bible before phone. Unreliable with the gospel. What is your story of conversion? If you don't have one, we'd love to talk with you about it, because like, you're not here by accident. Like, God may be calling you to himself. Like, this may be your story. But how does that story grow in its understanding of the implications of the theology behind it? Undeveloped spiritual reflexes. Like, are you a ninja? Have you gone to the dojo or the gym? Have you been trained in maturity by the solid food of the word? Let me pray. Lord, thank you for my sisters and brothers here. Thanks for their joy of being with them this morning. Lord, I just pray that you continue to stir them on to love and good deeds, to maturity in Christ, that they would know that you're calling them to continually grow. There's no coasting. There's no plateauing. There's no aging out. And Lord, I pray that we would all just grow in the knowledge of Christ. We'd never stop hungering for the solid food of the word. Thanks for this teaching this morning, Lord. Thanks for the life it gives us. In Christ's name, amen.